Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Yeah, I'm thinking on...
Welcome to this week's edition of the Geekly Planet, where we talk about all the things that we're geeking out about. We hope that you enjoy this week's episode with your hosts, Pat Aldridge, TJ Tamer, and Trey Pierce.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into what could possibly be the final episode of the year. I'm not sure, timing-wise, if we're going to get to another one. Maybe one more. I'm not sure. So we appreciate the fact that you've tuned into the Geekly Planet, where we talk about all the things we're geeking out about. We believe that we all geek out about something, and we have an actual good topic to talk about tonight. I'm kind of excited about it. But before we get to our topic of the evening, I need to check in with my two co-hosts here. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
I think TJ's doing better. I mean, he's got company, so.
He does. He does.
Hiro company Nakamura.
Company of the feline persuasion.
See. I have bourbon, so, I mean, there's that. I'm sure TJ has some somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I've decided I deserve a little Irish cream tonight, so I got that on the side here.
Salute.
So what's new and exciting, gentlemen? It's been like, what, 2 weeks? 2.5 weeks?
A minute.
3 weeks?
It's been a minute.
That's a better way to say it, Trey. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
You are a wise wordsmith.
No. No. I mean, like TJ said, I mean, I think right now, existing is pretty much the accomplishment of the month so far.
Okay. Everybody have their Christmas trees up?
Don't get me started.
Why? Is this a sore subject, Trey?
Well, I had one Christmas tree, okay?
Okay.
One Christmas tree. We got married and a Christmas tree.
Okay.
Perfectly good Christmas tree. And then we downsized to a smaller house for a while, and that Christmas tree was a little too big. So then we got a smaller Christmas tree.
I'm tracking with you so far.
Then we got a house, new house.
That and you're loving.
My wife fell in love with this other tree.
The first tree.
No.
The second tree.
No.
A third tree.
Third tree. So now, because the first tree had been in the garage because I had no room for it. Too big.
Right.
So then the second tree had been in use. So now the first tree has been pulled from the garage. It's in our dining room. The second tree has also been put up. It's in like the entryway to the house.
I was there. I saw it. Yes.
The third tree is now up in the living room. Since that time, a fourth tree has been added to my wife and daughter's office area. And my daughter and my son each have their own trees in their rooms. So if you count, that is 6 fully decorated Christmas trees.
Wow, fully decorated too.
I have in my house. And apparently, I, being stupid, thought that I could post my plight to Facebook and be like, wow, that's silly. No, apparently, I'm underachieving for my wife's friend circle.
Yeah, about that.
Most of them have like 7. her friend that's a photographer has 33.
Nah.
So she is full of the Christmas spirit.
Full of something. Something. Yeah. So yeah. We have six.
Okay.
Fully decorated Christmas trees.
So lights, ornaments, the whole
tree deal. Toppers. I had to print out a miniature Mario tree topper for one of them because we didn't have enough tree toppers to go around.
Okay.
So I took the one that I had printed for TJ and made it smaller because it goes on one of the smaller trees.
That makes sense. Yeah, I would say that that is an awesome tree topper, by the way. Thanks for posting the pic, TJ.
No problemo.
So the most Christmas trees we've ever had is four. Right now we have one fully decorated and a smaller one with just lights. So that's where we're at. Kate still, because of finals and school and life, has not set up her Christmas tree and may not this year just because of where she is in life. But she has the classic little Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's what my daughter has, but it still has decorations and lights on it.
Nice. Yeah, Kate's had lights and a few decorations, but she hasn't put it up yet. So, and I'm not sure she's going to. So, TJ.
We have one.
One?
Bless you.
That's sir. It?
Bless
you. In the living room. That's all we've ever had. And there's been a couple years where we didn't put it up just because we didn't have room.
Got you. I got you.
Much to the chagrin of everybody we knew. They were appalled.
Well, like last year, if you remember last year, we had just moved to our house and most of the stuff was still jam packed in the garage I'm sitting in right now. We're not even sure. We weren't even sure where most of it was, which is why we bought the little pre-lit tree. And Cheryl's mom was who puts up like four or five trees herself. Was horrified. She's like, I'll come over and decorate it. I'll dig it out of the garage. I'm like, you're in your late 70s, early 80s. I'm not going to have you crawling around in my garage, you know.
That's where you're a better man than me. I'm like, if you want it up, go ahead, because it ain't happening by me.
Well, you know, I just didn't want to be responsible as she breaks her hip on my property, you know.
Nah, that's full indemnification. You said no, she said yes.
So that's where we're at. Yeah. Who's done Christmas shopping yet?
Completed.
97%.
Yeah, that's about where we're at, too.
I've done all my stuff. She's got to get a couple more. So I did that this afternoon.
Wow, look at you.
Yep. Go Christmas.
TJ's pretty excited about Christmas, as you can tell.
Yeah. So holly jolly.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Not only does he spew wisdom, he sings well, too. Trey, you're like the whole package, really.
I don't think you understand who I am at all, because you don't speak facts.
But I entertain myself, so and that's what's most important. So
as long as that happens, then that's all you really, really need to have
happen. Right.
But what we do know is that the man does love him some Godzilla.
Yeah, he does.
Loves me some Godzilla. That is a true story.
So when we were texting during the week, trying to figure out a topic, because we haven't recorded in a few weeks, we're like, what are we talking about? And so finally Trey says, have you guys seen Godzilla yet? To which TJ and I semi-promptly responded no. And he's like, well, we could talk about that if you guys see it. So I had to jump through a little bit of a hoop to get it done, but it was accomplished on Saturday morning, the first show with the Imagine Theater in Batavia. Thank you very much for having a show as early as you did. Cheryl and I both went. And then we quickly came home for a few minutes and then turned around and went back out to the first of Kate's two concerts yesterday.
Oh. Nice. Nice.
TJ, when did you sneak it in?
Friday.
Okay. Friday. So I was the last one to see it. Because Trey saw it, like, I'm assuming you saw it on Tuesday.
I did.
At the $5 movie night?
Indeed.
You are a wise man.
It is what I have. It is what I can do.
Okay.
That's when I go to see my movies.
And you do it well. So you're there like every week, aren't you? To see something.
If there's something worth watching. Sometimes there's not anything worth watching.
Okay. You just don't go. You're just not there for the experience.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of weeks where I'm like, I got no interest in any of this. I at least have to have a little bit of interest.
This is all crap. I'm not going.
Yeah. I mean, if it's all like, you know, Pride and Prejudice and stuff like that, I have no interest in.
Wow, you had to bring that up, didn't you?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what. I didn't mention anything or anybody.
You didn't have to.
You didn't mention any of those that live in the western part of the states.
Pacific Northwest, no.
He didn't mention anybody named Josh Loftus. He didn't mention anybody.
Or making specific requests for that movie. Didn't say anything.
Okay.
Nothing.
I mean, y'all are saying things. I didn't say anything.
Let's be honest. I don't say a lot of things. I've seen the timestamps on how much time I talk on this podcast. So I don't say a lot of things. You guys, on the other hand,
we do say a lot of things.
Your mouths. Yes.
Words are said by
yes. That's why you guys are the wordsmith and I'm just the co-host. You know, I'm just the facilitator.
We'll facilitate so I can go to bed.
Okay, then.
Oh.
So apparently TJ is a little tired, possibly a little grumpy. That's neither here nor there. No grumps. Okay, good. Just tired. Okay. Not sick and tired, just tired.
Well, hopefully not.
You're hoping not. So let's talk
Godzilla. Gojira. Oh, sorry. Hold on. Aw, my lighter doesn't do. Gojira.
Go, Godzilla.
Okay. So, Trey.
Yes.
Being the Godzilla expert, I feel like you have to go first.
Wait.
Okay.
What? Wait, what?
Have you seen, have you watched the Monarch TV show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. I'm caught up on that.
Okay. Pat, have you started it?
No, I have not.
You should.
Okay.
That's my endorsement. Trey, you agree?
They have done something I think is, should have been done before. They're going back to like the 1960s for flashbacks and then coming to current time. And in the 1960s, the character's played by Wyatt Russell and present time is played by Kurt Russell.
Nice.
All right. Sorry. Continue. You should watch it is what I'm saying.
And I'm sure it's on the special place.
It is. Okay. Although the guy that's playing the past John Goodman does not look like John Goodman at all.
No. I will say this. Apple TV does put out a bunch of science fiction stuff. So, I don't know if that's what they're going for, but they sure do put out. And they've also put out some pretty stellar stuff.
Okay. Shrinking. I mean, they put out Ted Lasso.
They did. And they put out Shrinking.
I need to see that one. I hear
it'll make you feel things.
They did put out, I can't watch it because I have a boycott, but that Killers of the Flower Moon looks like it would be a good, like it's going to get some Oscar nods.
Sorry, proceed. Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Did you guys start the second season of Invincible before we get to Godzilla?
I started it, and then I realized that they hadn't finished, like it wasn't all out, and I'm waiting to just be able to binge it.
Okay. Because I would recommend that. It's really good.
Yeah. Did you watch the special episode?
Not yet.
Okay. It's the origins of Atomic Eve.
Yeah. I've not watched that yet. It'll
get you right there.
Okay. You've watched it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That'll be on my agenda this week. Assuming I get some downtime. So, Trey.
See.
Godzilla.
Yes.
Go.
So to anybody who is going to go to this thinking it's going to be like the American Godzilla movies, don't. Don't. It is squarely in the line of the Japanese Godzilla, specifically more of the original. And if you think the original one had Raymond Burr in it, you're wrong. That was the American remake of the original that just took the original movie and edited in Raymond Burr into the movie and dubbed it and then kind of changed the tone of the movie to fit that. But this movie very much felt like instead of starting out with a Godzilla movie and said, we want a Godzilla movie. How can we make this? It feels like they started with a fully fleshed out, like heartbreaking World War II movie told from the Japanese side. With a lot of scathing commentary about just how little like Japanese command cared for the lives of their soldiers and the people that were fighting for them, you know, to the point that none of the aircraft had ejectable seats and parachutes. They would just send people in. They're like, we need you to go die for the country. Go do that with no hope. And then they were like, we want this main character, but we want this incredible tragedy to just follow him around. What kind of tragedy can we have that follows him around? And somebody was like, Godzilla? Can it be Godzilla? Yeah, I think Godzilla can work. That'll be fine. Yeah, we can do that.
That's a great idea.
And so Godzilla's tragedy follows around. He lands on an island. Godzilla shows up. He's finally starting to like get hope back. Godzilla shows up, you know. That's it. I got to kill Godzilla. So it was. I mean, I don't think I felt anything besides sheer awe at a Godzilla movie in a while, and this one had me feeling all sorts of things. When Noriko pushed him into the building and like took off, I'm like, they did not just do that. Why you gotta do that? But the scene preceding that, when Godzilla first shoots off his atomic breath, was the best Godzilla atomic breath ever. Like I don't care. The Godzilla's shooting all the way down through the middle of the earth in Kong versus no. This was the coolest freaking scene in a Godzilla movie ever. But that's pretty much as far as I can go with it. I mean, it wasn't just a good Godzilla movie, it was a great movie. Just a great movie in general. And for that, I recommend anybody go see it. But if you're just expecting like your normal, like Godzilla fights and blow stuff up, you get a couple of that, but it's much, much more in line with like the original Godzilla movie where you might see him for 10 minutes of the entire hour and a half movie. Godzilla is not the main character here. So.
So I saw the Rotten Tomatoes scores for this movie, and it was like the critics were at like 95% and the audience was like 98%. And yeah, I mean that across the board, this was a good movie. TJ, what'd you think?
I agree with everything that Trey said, the atomic breath. This was the first time when he uses it that it actually felt like there was consequence. Like normally it's just, maybe we're so just done with destruction, from superhero destruction to just whatever. Like we just watch entire cities get pulverized by aliens or superheroes and we're just like, all right. But that is not what this felt like. This felt like what it should be, which was an atomic blast. And you're just like, holy crap. When that thing goes off.
Yeah.
It was insane. And then, you know, obviously they set it up where they can have another one, which is, you know, smart. But you know, the funny thing, or the thing that I really got out of it, was not even the movie itself. It was the fact that this movie took less than $15 million to make and just perpetuates the garbage that Disney, or just not perpetuates, but it just shows the juxtaposition with the garbage that Disney has been putting out. This just slapped nonsense, and then they wonder why they're losing almost $2 billion in a year when this dude made a phenomenal movie. Because if you tell good stories and you make good movies, you make money.
Yeah.
You make bad movies and crap stories, you make no money.
And it's not just Disney, it's pretty much every movie studio out now. I think A24 is the only exception that's actually put out movies that you care about.
And that's fine. I'm not saying that, because there is a place for Mission Impossible 57 and Fast and the Furious versus the Moon. That's fine. And there is a place in which, you know what, I just want to go turn my brain off and watch Godzilla and Kong go beat the shit out of another monkey. Like, I'm here for that. We're eating good in the Monsterverse. Right, it's like we were 10 years ago or five years ago. We were eating good in the superhero, right? But then we got greedy and lazy.
Well, if you haven't seen it, a couple of years ago they made Shin Godzilla, which was phenomenal.
Yeah,
they made three Shin movies. They made Shin Godzilla, Shin Kamen Rider, and Shin Ultraman. All three were really good.
I'm here for it. Like, there's a place, and that's my point, right? Like, we can have different things. Like this, like Trey said, was a war movie where Godzilla was the backdrop. He was not even the only backdrop. Right? World War II was the backdrop, and Godzilla was intermingled in the suck. So, but there's also a place for ultra leveled up pink Godzilla and Kong that we're going to get. And it's going to be great because it's big monsters beating the crap out of big monsters. And that's fun. Just like Pacific Rim was giant robots fighting kaiju. It's freaking awesome.
Nope.
And there's place for that. But what we need people to do across the rest of the movies is, you know, I need you to weave in there some actually good movies, story-driven, character-driven, thought-out movies.
Yep. And it can be done. And apparently it can be done for cheap. Because I think where they were able to do it is they were able to put all of their money into the effects.
Yeah.
Because the actors were not even like big name Japanese actors.
I would have no idea.
They were, I mean, they're known in Japan, but they're not like the actors that get big actually cross over to America, like Ken Watanabe, like from the other Godzilla movies, from the American Godzilla movies. It's a Japanese actor that got huge in Japan, then moved over to America. These were all the, what's the best? Who was best? What's his name? I can't even think of his name right now. He was in like 40 Days and 40 Nights. It was just in the, cannot think of his name. That bugs me. Continue to talk while I look his name up.
Pat, what do you think?
So I really enjoyed it. I was not fully versed on this movie's origin walking into it. So the amount of subtitles that I had to read throughout the entire movie was unexpected. But yeah. I mean, this whole movie was subtitled. I don't know why I wasn't expecting that, but I wasn't. So, but yeah, the story was phenomenal. You felt the pain that the character, the pain and the shame of the main character, you know, a kamikaze pilot who faked a plane malfunction, lands on an island to get his plane checked out. They figure out that, hey, there's nothing wrong with his plane. And just about that time, Godzilla happens to show up. And maybe it was just me, but throughout the movie, Godzilla kept getting bigger and bigger. Like when he walked onto that beach on that little island, he didn't seem, you know.
Well, he was big,
but he wasn't like huge, you know. Like,
no, and they said that. Like he keeps getting bigger. Like he's growing.
Yeah. So I thought that was well done, both story-wise and just visually. The end where he's flying the plane around and, you know, Godzilla's following him out, and he finally is fulfilling kind of the mission that he had at the beginning of the movie of a kamikaze pilot, flies his plane directly into Godzilla's mouth. And, you know, I was expecting, you know, I knew it was coming. So my expectation of that scene was, you know, you'd fly the plane in, you'd see the wings get ripped off and go flipping, you know, kind of to the side. But he flew that plane into Godzilla's mouth. That plane just stopped in Godzilla's throat. It just boom. And of course, the plane is rigged with, you know, a bunch of bombs and stuff. So it goes off, and that's how they finally defeat Godzilla, or so they think. Because earlier in the movie, like they're shooting him with that big 50 caliber gun or whatever it was on the little wooden fishing boat or whatever it was, and you know, you see his. You see the side of his face get kind of tore up, and then just like Wolverine instantly heal, you know.
That was after they put the mine in his mouth and blew the mine up.
Oh, that's right. That's
and
right.
It blew his jaw off, and he was like, yink.
Yeah.
That's something you've never seen in Godzilla. It's just like that healing factor.
Right.
He was like, oh.
Oh.
Oh, that happens now.
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't have to go recharge.
Right. Right. And so, you know, I'm surprised that they didn't think that all the way through, like even with the plane and the bomb and stuff, he just needs time to heal. And you saw that in the,
I think they were thinking if they did enough damage, like enough huge damage at once, then that would be sufficient. I did think the scene, like I was like, that was just really cool for some reason. They put the bubbles around him, and like Godzilla's going down, and he's about to hit that blast, and he hits that low depth, and all of a sudden it's just like, and everything just shuts off. Like, oh, maybe they did. Like, they got him for a second, you know?
And he was like, nah, just kidding.
And then he came back up, and he started swimming around. They're like, okay, let's get him up, start hoisting him. I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to end well for any of you.
I do appreciate that their plan was basically to submerge him and then give him the bends.
Yeah. Well, first they're like, we're gonna try and crush him with the immense pressure of the ocean.
Sure.
And if that doesn't work, we're gonna try and make his blood boil.
We're gonna give him the bends. So,
like the worst case of the bends you've ever had.
I love the part of the story where the kid shows up with all the tugboats that they actually needed in order to make the whole plan work. You know, I mean,
man, as soon as that kid showed up, I'm like, that kid's dead. Like, it didn't happen, but I'm like, that kid's dead.
And then, you know, I think just for that feel good moment, I wasn't thrilled with the fact that they brought the girlfriend back. Like, she sacrificed herself to save him.
That,
I'm like,
that, so that
it was
that
more touchy feely for me, and it was like that. That's a little on the cheesy side for me. That blast should have taken her out. I mean, it should have taken every building out, including him out. But then that's where the movie would have ended. So,
but see, that is a hallmark of a Japanese movie, because like he. What is it? He dishonored himself. Then he basically repaid his debt, his honor to the ancestors, and so therefore was rewarded.
Yeah, Pat. Ain't you ever seen Mulan? God.
Yeah. Geez, sir.
Apparently it's been too long since I've seen Mulan. Sorry.
But well, don't make a man out of you.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm fighting every urge in my soul.
Just do it. Just do it. I'm go, TJ. Go. It.
Bust
come
it out, on. TJ. Come bust on. It out. Bust it out.
not going to do it. Proceed. Let's go.
At least throw some Mushu lines out.
That was here's the thing. I will say this. I thought that the live action Mulan was actually pretty good.
If we need a Mushu.
It needed Mushu so badly, it would have sent it over the edge. Now, as a movie in and of itself, it was fine. But
with Mushu, it would have been
Oscar worthy.
No, so everybody loves Donkey, and Donkey is great. Don't get me wrong, but I think Mushu is Eddie Murphy's best animated role.
I agree, and I will say this: last yesterday.
What does that mean, Friday?
Yesterday.
Before last.
Right. We watched Candy Cane Lane.
Oh, how was that?
It was funny.
It was entertaining. We watched it too. It was funny.
Okay. I saw it and I'm like,
it was funny. It was
Do good. I want do I wanna?
It was real cheesy, but as a Christmas movie, they're supposed to be, but Eddie's funny. It was good. And okay. I was entertained.
I was surprised in that movie who showed up as Santa Claus. I'll be honest with you.
Me too. So you should check it out. I think your little girl will like it.
Okay. So it's child appropriate.
It's got a little bit of foul language, not a lot. Maybe okay. I think they might say
I've seen the previews for that one though, so I've seen Santa Claus.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I love him.
Yeah. I think wouldn't you say, Pat, it's just a little bit of bad language. It's not even a whole lot.
It's not a lot.
It's rated PG, so I'll have to watch that one. What did we watch the other day? We watched all three of the Santa Clauses the other day.
That's so good.
And then me and the boy watch Violent Night because you have to.
I'm saving it.
I'll watch it again. I don't care.
I might watch it again. I was just going to say that.
We were when we go home for Christmas, I'm going to try to we'll let the kids go to bed and then get my brother to watch it because he'll super enjoy it as well.
Has he not seen it?
I don't know if he has or not. I haven't asked him. But if he hasn't, I don't want him to watch it before we get there.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's one of those words, like, I want to see your expression.
That's right. I just want you to let me watch it.
is all going down. I'm going to watch you while you watch it.
Exactly.
Just that scene in the shed. That's all I want. I want his reaction from that scene right there.
When Santa goes full Viking.
Oh, gosh, I love it. I used to think, and that was last year, right? When that came out, was that last year? Yeah. That is my Christmas movie that I will watch every single year.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I saw someone the other day was making the argument. They're like, if you are in the camp that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie,
which you're wrong, but that's fine.
Right. Then you also have to be in the camp that Home Alone is not a Christmas movie.
Facts.
And that Gremlins is not a Christmas movie.
Also facts.
Because they are not about Christmas. They just take place at Christmas time. So right. If that's your argument for Die Hard, it also has to work for Home Alone and Gremlins.
And you're wrong on all three accounts.
100%. 100%. Those are all three in my Christmas rotation.
I was about to say, if you could only watch five Christmas movies a year. And you can't change them, you got to set them.
Okay, well, set it and forget it.
Set it and that's it. Now, obviously, if movies come out, you have to replace one.
Can they be replaced?
Yeah, you can be replaced. Yeah.
Okay. Because Violent Night would have kicked something off.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
And be like, what's up, Wonderful Life? Pew. It's
that never made that didn't make the list to make.
No, it did. I was just using the one that everybody says. That is not even close to my
That is not on a list at all.
Okay. So if we're gonna record next week, that's the topic. You're five favorite Christmas movies.
Oh, I already got them, so yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I can narrow it down. The list I was going to give you is right off the top, and I don't think it'll change much. But
I was
going to
say, which Hallmark movies are you going to pick, TJ?
None. Because if you put
picked them all, because it's the same thing. Just, you know.
Yeah. But okay, no. So hold on. Can we make it... Can we put difficulties on it?
What do you mean?
What kind of difficulties? Speak a wise one.
Like exclusions.
Okay.
Like no Elf, no Violent Night, no Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
Gremlins, Die Hard.
Well, sure, because those were going to be my list.
Right. But I'm saying, so let's make it different. I think it was going to be all of our list. I think those five are going to be our list.
Well, mine was going to be Die Hard, Gremlins, Violent Night right off the top. So.
Right. So, you know, none of those, because I think that's kind of like on everybody's list. So are there any others that you want to add to the exclusion that you think everybody's going to have for a degree of difficulty?
What's on the right now? It's Violent Night, Gremlins, Die Hard, Elf.
Violent Night, Gremlins, Die Hard, Elf. Yeah, I think.
Let's do one.
Oh, and Christmas Vacation.
Let's do Pat Addis, our last movie to the four. Because here's what, that'll be good. Because then that'll be the five that we
that, all. No, that's five. That is five. Violent Night, Die Hard, okay, Elf,
that is right.
Gremlins, Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
What's funny about that list is there's only one of those movies that would make my list.
Really?
Yeah.
I got at least two. At least two.
I got three.
Okay, maybe two, but definitely Violent Night definitely makes my list.
Oh, Violent Night and Christmas Vacation are on my yearly must watch list.
Okay.
Well, this is good because now what's going to end up happening in our fictitious world is that we all three are going to get Violent Night, Die Hard, Gremlins, Christmas Vacation, and Elf, and we also get five more. So we actually have two.
Yeah, there you go. And then, like, the question is, and this is what I've because I watch it for both because of my family. Does The Nightmare Before Christmas count as Halloween or Christmas?
Mm.
Yes.
See, that's what my family believes as well. It gets watched at both.
And there's no shame in that.
I think I have an inkling of what one of Pat's is going to be. I know I've got one that is also on very high on my list. So we'll see. We'll see how that comes up.
Well, so now we have to record next week.
Yeah, we have to. I mean, next week I don't see any reason why we can't next week. That's only
that's the 17th.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Christmas Eve, we are not recording. New Year's Eve, we are not recording.
We might be able to sneak one in the middle of that week somewhere, but because I'm off that whole week. So
I am not. I only have off the Monday.
So New Year's Eve would be fun. Depending on our level of inebriation. So
yeah, but we would have to record late. we could do a live pod. We could do a live stream.
I've got two guns, one for each of you at 12 o'clock. And we're like,
yeah. And see, immediately my brain was like, that's not a Christmas movie.
We're over here like,
do the cup thing.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. That's cool. We'll record the Christmas episode next week and drop it on Christmas.
There we go. Okay, gentlemen, this has been another fun adventure down the geekdom trail with you both.
See.
But it's time to wrap this up. So, stay geeky, my friends.
Embrace your inner geek.
Bye.
We're out of here. We will see you later.